Our text this morning is Isaiah chapter 29, and I'll be reading verses 13 to 24. Now, if you want to keep up with our reading through the book of Isaiah, we'll be looking today at different parts of chapters 28 to 31, so you could read those through the week. Isaiah chapter 29, beginning in verse 13. And the Lord said, because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men. Therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder. And the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. Ah, you who hide deep from the Lord your counsel, whose deeds are in the dark, and who say, who sees us? Who knows us? You turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay? That the thing made should say of its maker, he did not make me. Or the thing formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding. Is it not yet a very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest? In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel. For the ruthless shall come to nothing, and the scoffer cease, and all who watch to do evil shall be cut off, who by a word make a man out to be a defender, an offender, and lay a snare for him who reproves in the gate, and with an empty plea turn aside him who is in the right. Therefore, thus says the Lord, who redeemed Abraham, concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall no more be ashamed, no more shall his face grow pale, for when he sees his children, the work of my hands in his midst, they will sanctify my name. They will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and will stand in awe of the God of Israel. And those who go astray in spirit will come to understanding, and those who murmur will accept instruction. Let's pray. O Lord, as we come before you this morning, help us to understand your word. These words that Isaiah has written, as he was breathed into by your spirit, are so beautiful in so many ways, but they bear a truth that men have turned aside from you, have gone seeking after other things that they might find what they're looking for. And yet, as we look at what you have told us, we need to humble ourselves before you, to see who has made us, to live for that one, to honor you and bless your name, and to see the way of salvation that you've provided. Help us to do that as we go through these chapters of this book in your word. May my words be true to yours, and may we truly see the wonder that you have given us in the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, Rochester is quite a beautiful city. I was reminded of that as I was biking along the trail up the river trail going into the city. And I got started a little later than usual, so it was dark out, and the lights of the city are there, and the bridges over the water, and it was just beautiful. It was really nice. Now, I'm biking along the trails, I run into various problems along the way. One problem is at some points the trail just ends because people are doing different things. There's some construction going on in a couple of places on the river trail. And so you're biking along and all of a sudden there's this big blockade and you can't go any further. Another difficulty is just that the people along the way are sort of oblivious. And so it's usually pedestrians. Pedestrians tend to not look around them as they're walking along. So you'll get two people the other day walking side by side, but spanning the entire trail, and so their arms are going in the middle of the trail, and they're walking right at the edge, and they're just hard to get around. So the common thing is to call out that you're there, and you say on the left, meaning that you're going to go by on the left. And twice the other day, as people are walking along, I call out on the left, and they move left right in front of me. So I'm glad I have a cross bike so I can go off the trail without too much of a problem, and I've needed to do that a number of times. Well, how does that relate to our passage today? People of Israel are supposed to be following in God's way, walking in His path. Sometimes their leaders decide, well, they've got other things that they'd like to do. Their kings are going off to other countries. Sometimes it's Assyria, sometimes it's Egypt. Going off to other countries and saying, they'll be the ones that will rescue us. They'll be the ones that will save us. They'll be the ones that will help us out of our difficulty. It's like those blockades. The leader just put a block to the path, and there's no way for the people to follow along. Other times, the people are just oblivious to the fact that God is at work among them. They don't follow the trail etiquette. They don't do the things that God has called them to do. They're looking all over the place. One of the passages at the beginning of this section uses this little, almost a nursery rhyme over and over again in chapter 28, it says in verse 10, "For it is precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little." And the people are just going along, here a little, there a little, looking at the word of the Lord as just something that they can toss out here and there and use whenever they feel like it, but not really follow it. I was talking to a girl from downtown the other day, and she was acknowledging that she was saying that she was a believer, and she was telling me the churches that she went through, and she was acknowledging that she was saved, but also that her life was on the wrong path. I was really surprised at the amount of scriptures she had learned. She had many scriptures learned, and she was able to quote them over and over again, and yet it was here a little, there a little. It wasn't something that was guiding her life. She knew she was on the wrong path, and she continues to go down that wrong path. She refused to look at that word and say, this is what I need to follow in order to see where I need to go, even though it was in her head. So many people are like that. They've got something there, but they just discard it. Here a little, there a little, and they discard it. What do we need to do? Well, one thing we need to do is to understand truly the wonder of knowing the gospel of God's grace. And every day, having that fresh joy that comes from knowing Him, reminding ourselves of the work that He has done in our lives, the work that He continues to do in our lives, and the promises that He gives us that are just overflowing with blessing. Will there be no hardship? Will there be no struggles? No. Those things will come here in this world, but they're limited. They're limited in time, and they're limited in duration. And we are serving the God of the universe who is calling us to Himself and making us a part of His kingdom. And that kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom. And there will come a day when He will set all things right. And we can look forward to that day. But we can look forward now, each day, to the wonder of His grace day by day and serve Him with fresh joy. Fresh joy in knowing that One who has made us. As we look at these chapters, I'll be taking different sections out of them, but we need to look with fresh joy at the wonder of what God has done for us. We need to understand the potter. We need to understand the chief cornerstone that He brings to us. And we need to understand the way that He gives us to walk and walk in it. The fresh joy comes in the passage that I already read. And it's a fresh joy that comes to the humble, those who humble themselves before the Lord and then look to Him and look to His ways to lead them along. We, as we humble ourselves before Him, will receive that fresh joy of knowing we serve a mighty God and a God who has made us, the potter. If we look down at Chapter 29, verses 13 to 16. I already read those, but I'll read them again. And the Lord said, "Because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men, therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people. With wonder upon wonder, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. Ah, you who hide deep counsel from the Lord, your counsel, whose deeds are in the dark, and who say, 'Who sees us? Who knows us?' You turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay, that the thing made should say of its maker, 'He did not make me,' or the thing formed of him say of him who formed it, 'He has no understanding.'" Do we sometimes do that as we look to our God? We know He made us. We know He formed us. We know He called us to Himself. But do we trust in Him as that One who made us, that One who knows us and knows what's best for us? Do we look to the potter and trust in that potter who made us to be His vessels, His instruments, to be used of Him in this world to bring others to Himself? God works wonders among us. The greatest wonder is that He sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And we can come to Him, and the potter brings us into His presence, and He gives us a purpose. Now, as we go out into all the world and make disciples, you know, I give you that charge quite often to do that, to go out and do that. And one person came to me the other day and said, "You know, I can't really do things the way you do them." He doesn't make us all the same. He gives us things to do. And sometimes those things change through our lives. You know, even God changes the way He does things with us. He doesn't change His character. He doesn't change that His purposes. but he changes the way that he deals with us depending on where we are in our lives. If we look back at chapter 28, verses 23 to 29, God's dealing with his people, but he doesn't deal with them the same way all the time. As Isaiah is speaking, he's going to look at how God brings blessing to his people when they stop their arrogance and their pride and humble themselves before him. But he also looks at how he brings judgment to them, discipline to them, so that they will turn back to him. Chapter 28, 23 to 29. Give ear and hear my voice. Give attention and hear my speech. Does he who plows for sowing plow continually? Does he continually open and harrow his ground? When he has leveled its surface, does he not scatter dill, sow cumin, and put in wheat and rose, and barley in its place, and emmer as the border? For he is rightly instructed, his God teaches him. Dill is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is a cartwheel rolled over cumin. But dill is beaten out with a stick, and cumin with a rod. Does one crush grain for bread? No, he does not thresh it forever. When he drives his cartwheel over it with his horses, he does not crush it. This also comes from the Lord of hosts. He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom. The fact is that God deals with each one of us differently as is needed. Sometimes we need discipline. Sometimes we need encouragement. Sometimes we need the fellowship of God's people to bring us all together so that we can see the wonder of all that he's doing in our midst. And sometimes he needs to send us out to do what he is calling us to do, to bring others to himself. He deals with each of us in different ways, and he uses us in different ways in accord with the gifts that he has given us. He deals with us in different ways according to the seasons of our life. And he gives us things to do in different ways according to the seasons of his life. Look at where God has placed you right now. Look at what he has given you, what is right before you. And then do it. Seems pretty simple. Do what God has given you to do. But have your eyes open to that. Have your eyes open to the opportunities that he places before you. Is it bringing others into your house? It may be. Is it going out and serving others in different ways? It may be. Is it proclaiming his name as you stand in a pulpit? Well, some of you might be called to that at some point. But look at what God has given you to do, and look at how he's dealing with you right now. Giving you gifts, giving you a heart, giving you a life to live for him. Look at the potter. You're in the hands of the potter. Don't turn things around. Look to the potter and how he has given you a life to live for him and live it out. But live out that life knowing the wonder of his gift to you in the chief cornerstone. I'd like to read from chapter 28, verses 14 to 17. Isaiah 28:14. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scoffers, who rule this people in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we have an agreement. Remember, God's people were making covenants with the nations around them to protect them, even though they had the God that is the God of protection right there. When the overwhelming whip passes through, it will not come to us, for we have made lies our refuge, and in falsehood we have taken shelter. Therefore, thus says the Lord your God, behold, I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone. of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste. And I will make justice the plumb line. I will make justice the line and righteousness the plumb line. And hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and waters will overwhelm the shelter. God has placed among us the chief cornerstone. Who is that? Well, the New Testament writers are clear. And if we look at the use of this throughout Isaiah, Isaiah is clear that this is fulfilled in the Messiah. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the one who is the beginning of that foundation. He sets this foundation aright. And what is it a foundation for? It's the building up of His church, of His people, as He looks to bringing a people to Himself. We must follow the chief cornerstone. He gave His life for us. He died on the cross that we might be saved. And now He is that cornerstone that guides the building of His church. And we need to rest in Him. We need to be built upon Him, as Peter says, as living stones, so that we can be the people that God is calling us to be. We must look to the chief cornerstone. Isaiah also uses the idea of the Messiah being the capstone, that last stone that is placed that makes sure everything is right. And He's the one that we're looking to. Here, He's the one that we're seeking. He's the one that our eyes are focused upon. The writer of Hebrews talks about, focus your eyes on that one who came and gave His life for you. Look to the chief cornerstone. He is the one who will set things right. He is the one who will set your life right as you live it in accord with what God has given you. And then walk in the way that He has placed before you. This is the way, walk in it. I'd like to read chapter 30, verses 15 to 22. Isaiah 30, verse 15. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and in trust shall be your strength. But you were unwilling, and you said, no, we will flee upon horses, therefore you shall flee away, and we will ride upon swift steeds, therefore your pursuers shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five, you shall flee till you are left like a flagstaff on the top of a mountain, like a signal on a hill. Therefore, the Lord waits to be gracious to you. And therefore, He exalts Himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for Him. For a people shall dwell in Zion, in Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He shall surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. As soon as He hears it, He answers you. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide Himself anymore, but your eyes shall see your teacher. And your ear shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, then you will defile your carved idols overlaid with silver and your gold-plated metal images. You will scatter them as unclean things. You will say to them, be gone. Our chief cornerstone has come, has lived a righteous life for us, has given us His teaching, has died on the cross that we might be saved, and is now raised from the dead and ascended into heaven, and is our Lord. And we need to follow Him. Although we might see the bread of adversity, and the water of affliction here, although we might have troubles in this life, still we are looking to the one who is our teacher. Now, as Hebrews 1 says, God spoke it in many times and in many ways in times past, but now He speaks to us in His Son. And our whole New Testament is the speaking to us in the Son. The Old Testament looks forward to Him coming. The New Testament looks at who He is and teaches us about Him. We need to look to Him. He doesn't hide Himself anymore. Our eyes can see Him because He has revealed Himself to us. Our ears should be hearing that word behind us saying, "This is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it." If you want a fresh joy, if you want to see the wonder of God's grace poured out on your life, then hear those words. "This is the way, walk in it." God opens to us His way. He pours out His blessing on us as we turn aside from our haughtiness and our arrogance and look to Him. Look to Him and His grace that He pours on us through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. The one who has died for us, but the one who is now chief cornerstone upon which the church is being built, and the one who is dealing with our lives in whatever season you're in and showing us the way to go. This is the way. Walk in it. Refresh your joy as you walk in His ways. Let's pray. O Lord, as we see the wonderful teaching that You give us here in the book of Isaiah, help us to see not only how it applied to the people of Israel in times past, but how it applies to us today. How it applies to us as we look to live for You. Enable us to live for You with fresh joy, walking in Your ways. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll now sing from Psalm 86, Selection B. And please stand to sing.
Unite my heart, Your name to fear.
And we'll now worship God with our tithes and offerings. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we thank you for these gifts given for your work. We do pray that you will bless them and may they be used that others might come to know you. Lord, we thank you that we serve a risen Savior, that you are here in our midst, as you sent your Spirit to indwell us, to live in us, to open our eyes and our hearts to what you would have to say. We thank you that you are our teacher, that you stand behind us and say, "This is the way, walk in it." Lord, we give you praise for each day. If we're looking to you, if we put aside the things that we are striving for in this world and look to you and look at your purposes, you bring us fresh joy. You help us to see anew the wonder of your grace. And you help us to live for you. Lord, we pray for those who in this life are continuing with the struggles and afflictions that do beset us here and now. Lord, we look forward to that time when those afflictions won't be upon us. Yet, Lord, you use everything. You bring everything together for good for those who love you. And help us to see that, Lord. Help us to have that view. Help us to have our eyes open to your purposes in all things that go on in our lives. We pray for those who are sick and who are in need of your healing. We pray for those who are doing tremendous things for others, the giving of a kidney and other things that are give of oneself for someone else, and we pray that you'll bring blessing in those things. Lord, we pray that you will help us to see how you are working in our lives and what opportunities you are giving us to proclaim your name to those who are around us. Help us to be your light in this world of darkness. Forgive us of our sins, for the times that we go off the path, the times that we stray, the times that we put other things in front of us instead of looking to you, our rock and our Redeemer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.